You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's multi-award winning boutique wealth manager. Now, I received a piece of work that was published on BizNews. And the headline is Trump Tariffs, How to Protect and Grow Your Retirement Savings. The author of this piece is André Besson from Brenthurst Wealth. And he starts the piece by saying the following. It's one of my favourite subjects, I must say, so I'm looking forward to this. US President Donald Trump can be a divisive topic. Some like him and others loathe him. The fact of the matter is that he is the sitting US president, and our opinion does not change that. What we can, however, control is how we adjust our investments in this reality. In other words, André, and welcome, by the way, in other words, we can't change that, so let's just get on with it and make adjustments.
Yeah, that's basically the message we want to give to clients and people out there. You know, many times you can get so bogged down with all the headlines and the news, and makes you angry or either not angry. But the point is that won't help you. It doesn't help you practically with your investments, just to get sucked in by the media.
Yeah, you talk about understanding Trump. Nobody understands Trump. Trump doesn't understand Trump. He's a confrontational person. You said in your introduction, he's a divisive person. He's a sort of Marmite character, as they say. You either love it or you hate it. But markets have been rattled by his rhetoric, and I don't think even he was expecting the extent of that rattling when he made his Liberation Day speech.
Yeah, no, you're 100% correctly, and we can see it in the way he kind of like made a U-turn and saying, okay, yeah, but now we will talk to China, we will be nice to them, they will be nice to us, we'll see what happens kind of thing. And that was basically, I think he felt the pressure of, he didn't expect the markets to react that badly as he did after Liberation Day. And now he's kind of like saying, okay, there's a lot of damage done, and let's be a bit more modest about it. But the point is, you are correct. He is divisive. The way he acts is very, sometimes looks irrational, but, you know, he's not the normal US president, and that's basically what you need to expect going forward.
No, he's not the usual, and hopefully he's got some grand plan that he's keeping to himself at the moment. We'll see on that one. He sees himself as a deal maker, André. Let's face it, he thinks he's the world's greatest deal maker, and it's all about the deal when it comes to him. It's not about diplomacy and being presidential. It's about making a deal that favours the United States, and that can be dangerous, especially when you've got countries like China catching up in so many ways to the United States.
Yeah, it's a bit, it's I think 90% about the deal and 10% about the ego. So it's like playing poker. You need to look past the bluff. So I think you're 100% correct. It's not, he says something in order to create pressure, and then he wants to come, he wants to make a deal, but he wants to arrive at the table with a strong position to negotiate. So, and then he will create pressure in order to get people to talk to him and to do, you know, deals that will favor the U.S. So you will look at existing trade agreements and existing ways that the geopolitics run, and you will confront that if he does feel like the U.S. doesn't get the best deal. And if he can manufacture something, a better deal, then he can go to the media or to the public and say, okay, Trump has gotten us a better deal. So that's basically his agenda. Whether that's good or bad for your portfolio or your investments, that's where you need to stand back and say, okay, this is happening. How do I position for it?
Yeah, we'll come to that later on. You say he's a businessman, not a soldier. Now, he will push you right to the edge. He'll push tariffs as high as he dare and then pull back. That's his negotiating style. Yeah. And everyone's relieved, and that's what he wants. He wants to aim really, really high, but not really mean it, and accept for low. And that will be the same with geopolitics as well. If he sees that he's poking the bear too much and the bear's going to suddenly get angry, he'll pull back, because he doesn't want war. Like, I don't think anyone wants war, really. No. Maybe Putin wants a little bit of it, and he's got it. But I think the world wants peace and prosperity generally.
Yeah, so that's, if you think about it like that, I think, and that's the message one of the messages I want to bring across. Yes, he's divisive. Yes, he makes headlines. Yes, he causes volatility. But in essence, I still think he's a businessman. He wants the best deal. He doesn't want a war. So, you know, change in tariffs, et cetera, people can adjust around that, countries and companies. But we don't want this third world war. That will hurt the globe a lot. But I don't think that's his agenda. And if you understand his agenda is not that, but rather get a better deal for America, then you can actually say, okay, there's not that much I need to be afraid of. How do I adjust myself without being overly fearful?
We talk a lot about China and the United States and the talks, which may be happening, may not be happening. We don't know. China says, we're not talking to anybody. But Trump says, well, we had a meeting this morning. We meet every day. I don't know. I don't know who's lying. They've both got strong track records of not telling the truth. But what about Europe? I mean, he's changing geopolitics in Europe. They've been horrible about Europe. I mean, J.D. Vance in that Signal conversation that was published, he said Europe is pathetic. That's not the way to treat one of the world's biggest trading blocks.
Yeah, no, you're 100% correct. And on the trading block point, people forget if you put all the EU countries together, it's a massive economy and GDP driver for the world and trading partner. So it's really not... If I have a great neighbor next to me and we do business, and it's not really a wise thing to, you know, make some stupid comments or very aggressive comments. It's a rather, if his dog is barking and it irritates me, I can rather nicely ask him, but I shouldn't just pull out the bazooka and kill the thing. So that's basically
easier ways of doing it, Andre.
Yeah, so I'm not into killing animals, but the point is, it's easy that you can say a certain message in a nice way. It felt like they had an agenda to go out aggressive, really aggressive. And the things they said, you know, Europe takes it seriously, and they will, it definitely changes the way the old ally agreement will go forward.
He's only here for one term. That's what they say. That's what the Constitution says. But I noticed they're already printing Trump 2028 hats. Maybe they're just being mischievous. I don't know. Maybe he will find a legal way to stay in, because he doesn't want to leave the White House. He loves it there.
Yeah, no, he loves it. It's like if you used to drive a Mini, and now you want to get a V8 van and you've used all this power, you don't want to go back to the smaller car again.
Nope.
So, you know, he loves the power trip. But the point is, I think, like, they want him to go a third term, or he wants to go a third term. But if you look at the way the Constitution is written and how they need to change that, it's hugely unlikely that he will do a third term. So if I, but they will print the ads, so that's easy to do. But I don't think he will do a third term. So what I'm saying is, it's a democracy. There's a constitution. It's not a state where one president will rule for life. So he has limited power. That's what I want to say. So let's say he does something that doesn't work and they continue to do it. The next president will reverse it. So you have 3 years of damage or 4 years of damage, and now they will reverse it, and then there will be a rebuild of whatever is broken. Let's say he does change some things and it does work. Obviously, that's to the advantage. But all I'm saying is, he's got limited power, even though it doesn't look like it at the moment.
Let's look at markets now, because that's terribly important for you and your portfolio of clients, Andre. Europe has gained traction. It's almost as though Europe has been galvanized to come together because of the behavior of the administration in Washington. And Germany's under pressure, but countries like Spain doing so well. And there seems to be a unification. And that's why a lot of people are looking at European equities, for example, over the last 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, 100% correct. So Germany is a good example. They announced an €800 billion euro infrastructure spend and defense spend, and that's a big amount of money, and it will move the needle. So Europe has been sleeping for a long time, and now basically with the pressure from Trump and the Ukraine war, it really does help them to just say, okay, let's get it going again. And you know, Germany has very low debt level, so they can actually afford to get the economy going again. And yeah, and so you're correct. You know, difficulty will either galvanize you into going forward, or it will cripple you. And it looks like Europe is actually getting on with things.
The US dollar puzzles me a little bit. I don't know what the longer term implications are going to be of a weak US dollar. It has a knee jerk reaction to the downside, probably done a little bit too much, but the trend seems to be down. I can't quite work out whether that's good or bad for the world. It's maybe good for the US exporters, but otherwise, I don't know. What's your opinion?
Yeah, so I'm, to be honest, I also don't know 100%, but what I do know is, if the US dollar does devalue a bit, and it does come from a very strong base, so the euro versus the dollar, if you measure that, then the euro is very undervalued. Same with the pound. So it does create a place where if the dollar continues to weaken a bit against those currencies, then the European equities will do even better when you measure their growth in dollar terms. So yes, Trump does want a weaker dollar to support his manufacturing voter base, because that should be good for exporting US companies. But it's not really a thesis that has been tested yet. Say, will a weaker US dollar be better for the US as a whole? So we will need to wait and see.
Yeah.
And then if I don't know, to be honest, what the total effect will be, I'll just sit back and say, okay, will a company like Microsoft be able to make money whether the dollar devalues with 5% or appreciates with 5%? And if the answer is yes on that, then I can still invest in Microsoft.
Quite right, too. Tariffs hurt everybody, you say. Some people say tariffs will be good, but they're in the minority. And tariffs, as you say, will hurt everybody. And it's going to change global trade patterns and also supply chain patterns for a long, long time to come, because some of the damage has already been done, Andre. And it will take a little while for people to regain their confidence in the United States of America, for example. They can't be trusted in many people's eyes. So it's a big deal.
Yeah, no, it is a big deal. So let's say I'm a US businessman, and I either have a service industry or a manufacturing industry. Now I want to expand, but are there going to be tariffs or not going to be tariffs? What's the percentage going to be? You don't know. So what they do is they're going to sit in their hands until they know. So it's actually dangerous for Trump to play the card, because, you know, to move a factory from, let's say, Asia to the US or Mexico or wherever they need to move it, it takes a while. So, and by the time everything is completed, he might not be president anymore. So all I'm saying is, yes, there's a lot of noise, but definitely tariffs is bad for everybody, because it increases prices for consumers. It will be inflationary, but it's not the end of the world. We can adapt. And people do adapt throughout the ages.
All right, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. You have set the scene up very nicely indeed about what's going on macro and economy and politically wise. But now we've got to talk about portfolios. You say discretionary money, get your offshore exposure and currency. And it's almost as though that's a call to arms, an urging there, Andre.
Yeah. So diversification is the main theme, is the only free lunch. So diverse properly, get offshore exposure. So if the US does sneeze, the rest of the world catches a cold, and especially emerging markets. So South Africa is at risk in that sense. And we've got GNU friction that will continue. They need to sort out a couple of stuff. You know, to talk only about the local politics and risk and opportunities is a call for another day. But the point is, there's a lot of things in the boiling pot that can go either left or right. And in that sense, I've seen it in the 2008, you know, GFC crisis. When the global economy takes a recession, the RAND, the JC falls, global market falls, but the RAND also tanks. And actually that helps you a bit. So the offshore exposure is a bit of a edge in that sense. And then, but it's not only, the second message we want to bring is it's, the U.S. is not the only game in town. It used to be, if you look at the 5-year, 10-year number, the S&P 500 has been the only place to be. But there's a case to be made that might not be the next 10 years going to repeat itself. So, I mean, we're not saying divest from the US. There is a, you know, there's great companies will still stay great, and most of them is listed in the US. But there are other areas to invest also that is continuing to look attractive.
Pension money now. You say use a living annuity instead of RAs and pension funds. And if you're over 55, you make the point that you can turn pension, provident and preservation funds into living annuities. I don't think many people know that.
Yeah, that's a big and an easy way to do. Like, that's actually also a call to arms to say, listen, if you're going to retire at 60, 65, even 70, but you've got a lot of money locked up in your pension fund or an RA, you can retire from that, move it into a living annuity. In there, you have more offshore exposure possibilities, and you have other tools like hedge funds to use. That's regulated by the Long-Term Insurance Act, not by the Pension Funds Act. And the government can change the Pension Fund Act by changing the the way it is run, the Regulation 28. They can change that without our consent. They can do whatever they want in that space, but they can't under the Long-Term Insurance Act. So that, there you actually have freedom. Then you have your money in a living annuity, and you can continue working for another 10, 15, 20 years and just start a new RA or pension fund if you want to. But in that sense, that's a no-brainer for us. And it worked well for many years.
I conducted a podcast yesterday, Andre, and it was about quality companies, quality liquid, well-run markets as well. We just focus on quality because that is so important during tumultuous times, which we have experienced and may continue to experience in the future. And you say great American companies will still stay great. So US exceptionalism maybe has been shunted aside somewhat, but certain companies are exceptional, particularly in the United States.
Yeah, and so you can't really, you know, who's going to topple Microsoft as a market leader in the industry? Who's going to take over from Visa and MasterCard? These companies won't come from the sidelines very soon. So we're still in the game and say, of opinion and say, listen, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Stay calm, and there's a reason to be invested in the US, but also have a diversification add on. Look at other areas, but stay invested in the US companies that you have backed for many years and that have worked and they will continue to work. They will need to reinvent themselves if the globe looks a bit different going forward. But, you know, I think it's not the wise decision to completely divest from the US.
Adjust your expectations. And you give us a few examples of what the US stock market has given us historically. This year may be different. It's got to have a year off. Maybe it's got to have 2 years off. Maybe it's got to go down a bit and then sideways, regain its confidence. But don't expect your 15% this year. You might get it, but don't expect it. It's not a right.
Yes, so If you go into any agreement or business deal or relationship and you've got the wrong expectation, you set yourself up for failure. So if you look at a 100-year record of the S&P 500, it's around 10% growth. And that's through a lot of ups and downs, etc. So we actually, a healthy expectation is for a client to say, listen, I'm going to invest in a proper global portfolio and my aim is 10%. I would like to have more, like a 12 or a 15. But if you get 12%, you double your money every 5 years. 12 seems like a low number. It's not, you know, 30, 40, 50 that people would like to hear. But I'm very much in the camp to say, listen, make consistent returns over time, and that's the way you create wealth. And you do it in a sustainable manner. So we would just urge clients to say, have a reasonable expectation. And if you do better, that's good on us.
Create safety for yourself and your emotions. Emotions is one thing. Safety in your portfolio is something else. And I would imagine your emotions follow if you're happy with your portfolio. And you give us 3 points and you say, use one of the below methods to lower your risk. Go through the three briefly, if you would, Andre.
Yeah, so first point is diversification, on which we spoke a lot. So let's say you invest all your money in one or two companies or one area, and that area takes a smack or gets a headwind that you didn't expect. Now, all of a sudden, you get a fright and you want to sell at the wrong time. But if you have a properly diversified portfolio across areas, across industries and across currencies, you're not afraid if Trump comes along or doesn't come along or something severely happens. You're diversified. You just sit out the ride. The second one is offshore exposure and gold. If the, like I said previously, if the market tanks, most probably the rand will blow out. And if you measure your growth in rands, then the offshore exposure helps you. Gold is another great hedge to use. It's just that gold is also very volatile. Actually, if you look at the numbers, a gold fund is more than twice as volatile as a normal equity fund. But gold does help you in times of turmoil. So that's one way to buffer your portfolio. And for local investors, there is some amazing hedge funds in South Africa that has great consistent long-term returns that we can use in a living annuity or discretionary funds for those clients to say, listen, I want growth, but I want to have offshore exposure or local exposure, or, you know, I'm not too worried where the funds are invested, but I want consistent returns. So that's an area that many clients haven't looked at because people are scared of hedge funds, but you need to look at the bigger, more solid names that has been around for many years and have a proven track record, and they can lower your risk significantly.
The bottom line is as follows. Actually, I'm not going to read your paragraph, which sums up your article. I'm going to say, let's say that you get a phone call just after this podcast, and it's somebody who's been in Madagascar for the last 2 months studying lemurs, and he or she had no cell phone signal, gets back to South Africa, lots and lots and lots of messages, and looks at the markets and thinks, goodness me, look at that. We did this on that day, that, etc. Immediately phones up Andre Besson at Brenthurst Wealth, and you have to then explain. You probably did well by not doing anything and being stuck in the jungle.
Yeah, no, that's that is correct. And for most clients, you don't need to adjust your portfolio if it's properly built. And for most clients, it's not helpful to read the news because most of the news are since based on, you know, we want to sell sensation, we want to sell fear. And yeah, so to not, and for those clients, we will just say we are a good places to invest, and yeah, just stick your money in. Don't try to time the market and just wait until you get the growth, which will eventually come.
Yes.
And Warren Buffett, listened to an interview, I think it was a year or two ago, and the lady asked Warren, okay, so where would you invest for the next year? And he said, okay, no, I'm getting extremely nervous if you ask me that question. I really don't know, but I do know American businesses will grow in the next 10 years, and that's where I'm investing. So that's just the old wisdom, say, always take the long-term view, and that's what we're doing now.
Very good indeed. Nice way to end. Andre, thank you very much for your wisdom. Andre Besson is from Brenthurst Wealth, and that was It's My Money. It's My Money was brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.